Y'all blessed? You sure? Even when you miss it, you're blessed? You stay blessed? Can anybody take that blessing from you? Come on now. You stay blessed. How awesome is that? You don't have to walk around all downtrodden. You're blessed. Amen. Amen. You are blessed. If people don't have, those online, if you don't have a relationship with Jesus and you're watching, and that's even including some of my family members, get a relationship with him. Why? Because he's blessed you with every spiritual blessing. And it's not anything that you can earn. It's something that is just freely given to you. You're blessed. Although sometimes it may not seem like it is. Why is this going on? Well, you live in a fallen world. And the enemy would do nothing, love nothing more than to keep you and to get you to the place to where you don't trust in God. You're not trusting in his promises. You're not trusting in what his word says. So we just going to mess all that up. If you got your Bibles, open up to Genesis 1. The first place where you see where God blesses you. It isn't about just having a relationship with God. He's blessed you. He wants you blessed. While you're living here on earth, he wants you blessed. It says, then God said, let us make human beings in our image to be like us. They will reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the air, the livestock, all the wild animals on the earth, and the small animals that scurry along the ground. So God created human beings in his own image. Human beings. We know that we do not evolve from a monkey, from an ape. We don't evolve from that. He created us in his image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female. He created them. So when two people get together, man and woman, not man and man, or a trans and man, trans women can have men that transition into women, they can have babies. No, they can't. Biologically, you cannot. You cannot. He created them male and female. It's not something that we should complicate. But yet, we will literally try to complicate it. Satan will always try to perverse what God has already established by his word and through nature. It's already a done deal. You're fighting battles that don't need to be fought. He says, then God blessed him and said, be fruitful and multiply. Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and govern it. Reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, and all the animals that scurry along the ground. God blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply. He didn't say, just stick with what you have. Figure it out yourself. He says, be fruitful and multiply. First blessing. And his blessing does not stop from the beginning all the way to the end. You'll see God's blessing throughout the scriptures for us, for his people. Throughout the scriptures, you'll see it. He does not want you not blessed. He doesn't want you living without it. He doesn't want you living in a curse. He wants you blessed. He gave them dominion over everything but one another. I don't have dominion over Richard here. I don't have dominion. I can't control Richard. I don't have dominion. We don't have dominion over each other. Quit fighting it. That's not something you have to fight. We're submitted to each other. We don't have dominion over each other. He gave you dominion over the birds of the air, over the fish in the sea, over the cattle, everything that creeps along the earth. So you have dominion over creeps. I don't know why we do so much to do. We do so much to try to get out of God's will for our lives. We don't have to. Years ago, and I'm just jumping around. This is actually the last part of my message. Years ago, when I came here in 97, it was like my coaches were telling me, dude, you need to get out of here. You need to get out of California. And it was a very, very good move. I didn't think that was a God thing. And so I thought I was running away from ministry and from my call. And I wasn't. I ran smack into it. Talking to my wife for the first time, she's telling me all this stuff about her family and everything. And I know I have written everything down on how I wanted a wife and how I wanted her to be and stuff. And the Lord's saying, that's your wife. There she is. That's who you asked for. I said, no, she was supposed to be light-skinned, black. She was light-skinned, very tanned. But there was a time in our life where I had gone to Arkansas because I was chasing after a conference ring. I wanted those conference rings. I wanted one. My brother had one. I needed to get one. So that was one of my biggest accomplishments that I had out there in the flesh. And the thing about it is that we will do so much to chase something that is so insignificant. This is what I was chasing after. This is what God had in store for me. But I wanted this. It doesn't matter what we do in life. If this is not a part of God's plan for your life, it's not going to matter. He has all of this waiting for you. But yet we'll choose to go after this. It doesn't matter what you accomplish within yourself. If you can't accomplish those things with God leading you and flowing in your life, it's not going to matter. You're just chasing after things. And we know in Matthew 6, it says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Then what? All these things shall be added unto you. So we don't have to toil. We don't have to have 15 different jobs. We allow God to move in our life and we can live in the blessing and allow him to multiply, to bless the work of our hands. In Deuteronomy 28, it talked about the blessing. You know, from verses 1 through 14, it talks about all the blessings of God. And then from 15 to 68, all the curses. There's a lot more curses than there are blessings. Blessings for obedience. Curses for disobedience. But thank God that Jesus took away that curse. Amen. He took away the curse of the law. In Proverbs 10:22, it says, the blessing of the Lord makes a person rich and he adds no sorrow with it. In the world, we used to have a song that we just groove out to. It was called Mo Money, Mo Problems. But that's the thing. More money, more problems. But when God has given it to you, his scripture says he has no sorrow with it. When you're getting it from the Lord and when you're doing and you're operating what he's called you to do, there's no sorrow that comes with it. But if you get it without integrity, you get it without doing it the right way, there's going to be some sorrows. There's going to be some problems. So basically they're saying we're stealing and we got problems. Well, no duh. We're doing it wrong. And anytime you're operating the way the world wants you to operate, you're going to have those types of problems. He adds no sorrow with it. God doesn't want you to compromise your principles in order to receive the blessing that he has on your life. I choose principles over friendships, relationships at times. You know, some relationships can come and go. Your friendships will come and go and things. But if you choose to live a certain life just to please a friend, if you don't stand for your principles, no one else will. No, I'm not going to steal. No, I'm not going to help you to steal. No, I'm not going to be around to be the getaway car or what have you. No, I'm not doing that. Why? Because that's something that God told me not to do. That's something that his word says. Not to steal. No, I'm not going to commit this crime over here for you. No, I'm not going to lie to that person over there for you. I'm not doing that. Why? These are principles. It's crazy to ask me to do that. Please don't ask me to do that because I'm going to just tell you no. And if I'm rude about it, understand, I love you. But don't ask me, because I won't compromise my principles for no one, not even for my own kids. I love them that much. I want them to see what God is doing in my life. Why? Because not only have I accepted what he's done for me, but I'm living it out for him. I won't compromise. You shouldn't compromise. God wants you to be obedient to him. Be obedient to him. This thing just keeps falling down every time. He wants you to be obedient. Good thing it's not a mic. It's okay to tell the enemy no. Those intrusive thoughts that come in your mind, it's okay to say no to the enemy. Hurt his feelings. Hurt it. Why? Because you're a child of God. You're living that blessed life. And that's not something you should be ashamed about. You know, people will make you feel guilty over having a good life. You shouldn't feel shame because your kids listen to you, because someone else's kids don't. Don't ever have to feel ashamed about that. You don't have to feel ashamed because you drive a nice vehicle. You don't have to feel ashamed because you listen to the Lord and you can hear his voice more so than anyone else's. You don't have to feel ashamed for actually coming to church more than once a month. You don't have to feel ashamed for being a part and serving in the church and serving in the community and helping other people. You don't have to feel ashamed for praying for others out there in public and even in your quiet time. Anything, any way the enemy can get you to the place to where you feel ashamed, he wants you to. He wants you to doubt the blessing of God in your life because he doesn't want you operating in it. Your relationship with God is important. It's the number one reason why you're here, but you also have to work and do what he's called you to do here on earth. The blessing brings the things that you need in life. The world will tell you to hustle. There's one point in time in our life, my wife and I, we had 3 jobs each. People thought we were Jamaican. What you talking about, man? But you don't have to hustle. Philippians 4:19 says, "In this same God who takes care of me will supply all your needs from his glorious riches, which has been given to us in Christ Jesus." Everything you need in life, God will supply for you. He will give it to you. Everything you need. We can choose to reject the things that we need in life. There are people who are homeless because they want to be homeless. There are people who are in jail because they want to be in jail because then they can get 3 meals. Free medical, free shelter. They want to be there. I've seen a video and watched a video of some of these kids. They make so much money off social media and stuff. They're going over there bailing people out of jail and everything. And they're like, "Who are you?" And they're like, "Man, we bailed you out." "Why?" "I was good." man, you're free. "I don't have any place to go." And the thing about it is, it's like they don't. People want to be in that position. If they want to, God bless them. But you don't have to be there. You don't have to be downtrodden. You don't have to be down and out because he has blessed you with every spiritual blessing. He blessed you so that you can bless others. That's why you're there. I'm not opposed to pastors having planes and stuff, especially if they're traveling all over the place. I look at it as, you know, I'd much rather have my car than take public transportation. I like my car better, my truck better. I will not take a bus anywhere else. I've did that before. 20 some hours on a bus that took 10 hours to do. Never again. Saying American tours or whatever. Some people love that. If that's you, God bless you. But to take a public transportation, a bus every single day, every place you go, rather than just getting in your car and just going. I fly commercially. Guess what? I won't fly if I can drive because I don't like the airports. Take too long. Lines are too long. Plus, they make you take off your shoes. I don't like that. Doggone Unabomber. Messing it up for everybody. I got to take my shoes off now. I take my shoes off for no one. But if they're doing it the right way, if they're using it for God's glory, I don't have a problem with that. I don't have a problem with people being millionaires, people in the body of Christ. I want all of us to be millionaires. Multiply it. Why? Because you're going to do the right thing with it so that you can bless other people, so you can take care of those widows and those orphans, so you can build the things that God wants you to build, so you can go where God wants you to go, so you can fund that the Lord wants you to fund. I don't have a problem with that. God left this stuff here on earth for us, not for the enemy. Genesis 2:11, I believe, the gold he put in the ground. How much is the gold now? About 5,000 an ounce? That's crazy. But he put that in the ground for us. We might as well partake of it and use it for his glory. He's blessed you. We can't say that he hasn't. He's blessed you. When was the last time you spoke Philippians 4:19 over your life when you've been down and out? Maybe it's been a while. And if it's been a while, that means you've been living in the blessing. Maybe you haven't spoken it, but don't forget to thank him every single day. Lord, I thank you that I have everything that I need. And then some. Speak the blessing of the word of God over your life, not word curses. Once the blessing gets on you, no one can take that from you. There are ways that we can block the blessing, and unforgiveness is one of them. Strife is another. Bitterness, low self-esteem, condemnation, unrighteous anger. These things can block the blessing from operating in our lives. Keep yourself in love. Anything that can tick you off, the enemy will use to tick you off. Keep yourself in love. Don't allow those blessing blockers to keep you from doing what God's called you to do or receiving what he wants for you to have. Why is this delayed all the time, Lord? Well, get your heart right. How's your love walk? Okay. Got to tighten up. Once in a while, we may get there. We just got to tighten up and get our love walk on. Amen. Galatians 3:13 says this, but Christ has rescued us from the curse pronounced by the law. When he was hung on the cross, he took upon himself the curse for our wrongdoing. For it is written in the scriptures, cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree. Through Christ Jesus, God has blessed the Gentiles. Blessed again, man. With the same blessing he promised to Abraham. That's back in Deuteronomy 28. So that we who are believers might receive the promised Holy Spirit through faith. Jesus has redeemed you from the curse of the law. God wants to bless you so much so that you could be a blessing to others. So much that you can be a blessing. Don't feel guilty over that. You get another raise on your job, don't feel guilty. He's blessing you. You got some money coming in and to your account, don't worry about that. Wait a minute, is this real? Yeah, the Bible says that the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the just. Don't worry about that. Don't feel guilty over it. God has blessed you beyond measure. That's why he gives you the very best. Every good and perfect gift is from the Father of lights, in which there is no variation of shadow or turning. Every good gift that God gives is for us. It's a perfect gift. There is nothing that is used up. God is not giving you secondhand stuff. This isn't secondhand lions. He's giving you the cream of the crop type stuff in your life. He's giving you the blessing. He's giving you his name. He's giving you his authority, his power, his power. This stuff doesn't work just from 8 to 5. And then afterwards, you're on your own. It's all day, every day. It's 24/7, 365. His anointing, his blessing, that's on you. In John 10:10, it says, the thief's purpose, this has been on my heart for so long, man. The thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy. My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. The Passion Translation says, a thief has only one thing in mind. He wants to steal, slaughter, and destroy. But I have come to give you everything in abundance, more than you expect, life in its fullest until you overflow. Amplified version, you don't have this. I didn't give this to you. So don't worry about it. It says, the thief comes only in order to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life, have and enjoy life, and have it in abundance to the full till it overflows. Things that come to steal, kill, and destroy in your life. It's not from God. That's from the enemy. It's from the men who flow with the enemy. Jesus came that we may have that Zoe life, that eternal life. Not just in the life to come, but now. To have that relationship with him living in us. That's what he's given us, that Zoe life. With fullness. The overflow is for other people. It's not just for you. It's for other people. I share that story about that young girl that I had sold some money into. And then she got outside and was with her grandmother. And then they were saying thank you and stuff like that. And I was just doing it just to get the line going. Being patient. And then I walked by and then it just hit me. I said, Lord, I get it. It's not just for me. It's to help other people. No, I don't go around giving. I rarely ever carry cash. I said, but at that time I did. But I understand. Everything he's given us is not just for us. It's to help others. Your anointing that you have on your life isn't just for you and your family. And you're just going to keep it to yourself. It's to help others. Wherever you're at in your job, it's to help solve some of those problems. You have the Holy Spirit. It's to help solve those problems. Well, how can I use God in my life right now, in today's time? How can I use God on my job? You can pray. Ask the Lord, and he will give you the answer, and you can help solve those problems. Promotion. Well, where's that at in Scripture? You have a lot of it with Daniel, with Joseph. You have a lot of Scriptures in the Bible where God had used Esther. You have a lot of those in the Bible. Those examples, it doesn't stop because we're in a new covenant. We're in a better covenant under grace. The message says a thief is only there to steal, kill, and destroy. I came that they can have real and eternal life, more and better life than they ever dreamed of. You don't have to cry to God over the things that he's already redeemed you from. Start speaking out the blessing that he has said over your life. You don't have to feel guilty about being blessed. You don't have to feel ashamed about being blessed. Jesus took that curse away, so stop living in the curse. Any curse that you have, go back and look at it. Any curse, you got any sickness on your body, that's part of the curse. If you're in poverty, that's part of the curse. You're not supposed to be living in it. You've been redeemed. Not being able to have a friend around your life, and that's part of the curse. Everything you do is just faltering. It doesn't work. This thing doesn't work out. That thing doesn't work out. That's not so. It's part of the curse. It's not part of the blessing. The blessing says that everything I set my hand to shall prosper. So check up on what you're saying. Check up on your love walk. There's spiritual laws here. Yeah, but I know, But my mom, my parents, my grandparents, they served the Lord, and yet they were poor, they were broke, they were this, and they were that. I get that. But some people choose to be a certain way. If Jesus has redeemed you, he said he has redeemed you from the curse of the law. Some people rather live in a curse than live in a blessing. For years, I accepted my knee was going to give out. I wouldn't be walking by the time I'm 30. By the time I was 29, I was changing my tone. I want to be walking by the time I'm 30. But I accepted what everyone else had said in my life. And we can accept the things that people say and speak over us and not realize it's part of the curse. That's part of the curse. Don't accept it. Don't accept it. That's part of the curse. They said, I have this. God says, I'm blessed. From the top of my head to the soles of my feet, I am healed by the stripes of Jesus. To the toenails that curl over your toes. No fungus. Amen. You're blessed. You're healed. Stop accepting it just because the world is saying it. You've been believing the Lord for a wife, haven't you? It's been a rough go. But he hasn't backed off his promise. You stay believing. Believe that you received it and you shall what? You shall have it. You shall have it. Don't you back down. No, over here, anybody want to be? No. I don't play matchmaker. I don't do that. I don't do that. I will not ever play matchmaker. That's too much work. Cast out any thought, any emotion, any will, any action that doesn't line up with God's word, because you will be the one that's frustrated in the end. We can get so frustrated thinking that we're pleasing God and thinking that we're being a blessing to him, but in reality, we're just trying to please other people. Without faith, it's impossible to do what? Please God. Be pleasing to him. Be obedient to him. Be obedient to his word. And if people don't like it, tough. I'm going to stay obedient to God. You stay obedient to God. And if there's some friction there, go to the word. Because somebody's out of order. Because God is not in disharmony with his word. We can miss it at times. Stay obedient to him. Deuteronomy 28:7, the Lord will conquer your enemies when they attack you. They will attack you from one direction. They will scatter you from in seven. God knows how to take care of his children. We just have to be better at receiving and owning what he has given us. That's part of the blessing. Your enemy attacking you. Don't worry about that. God didn't send them. Don't yield to it. He still loves you. Pray for them, right? Bless those that curse you. Pray for those that persecute you. Love them. But you have to get to the place and ask yourself this question: do I really trust God? When things aren't going my way, am I trusting him? And Jeremiah 17:7 says, but blessed are those who trust in the Lord and have made the Lord their hope and confidence. If you think about every blessing that has to do, that's in the Bible, it has to do with you trusting the Lord. You have to be able to trust God. You have to be able to trust him at his word. And if we can't put this first and foremost over our life, it's not going to matter. If you don't value this and you value someone else's word, you're not in trust. You're not trusting the Lord. We can trust our friends. And I mean, you know, we probably all had that one friend. Hey, Matt, trust me this time. And then they just send you down the river. Again. Hey, trust me this time. I mean, I can. I said, no. Sooner or later, you're going to have to stop hanging out with people who's constantly telling you to trust them, but yet they just keep failing. God will never fail you. He will never fail you. He's never failed anyone yet. What has happened is that we wanted the things that we wanted and we couldn't get it. And so we think God failed us. God didn't fail you. His word never fails us. His love never fails us. Don't settle. Don't settle. You can't. There's too much for you to do. There's too much for you to for God to do in your life. You may be thinking that your life is insignificant. It is not. Everyone here, all I do is serve, Lord. All I do, that's what we did. Cleaning toilets, scrubbing floors, shoveling rock. But you're serving. Wiping babies' behinds when you're serving in a nursery. Anybody done that yet? If you haven't, we'll sign you up. I don't do that. I don't do other people's kids. No. I never changed the sire, not one time. I'll change the boys. I wouldn't change my daughter. But God loves you. Put this first. His word. Where does his word say? Jesus is the first and the last. He is the Alpha and the Omega. When situations come up, this first. When problems come up and things of that nature, when we have to make a decision, this first. When problems come up, this is first and last. Why? Because it doesn't matter what they said about you. I'm going to the word. This is going to be the last word. And this is what I'm standing on. And this is what I'm not backing down from what it says. Even if that problem just comes right up to my toes, I'm not backing down, and we just got to look it dead in the face, and it's just going to be right here. I've heard many of testimonies where God had, at the just the right time, he provided. Some people set the table. We heard about that last week when the Lord set the table, and they didn't have any food, and somebody came and brought some hot food over to him. How many times that happened to people? Groceries came on the doorstep. Rent paid. You didn't know how. Medical bills paid. Didn't know how it was done. Why? Because God spoke to someone. And thank God for people and for Christians listening to the Lord. And thank God for the blessing that operates in their life and the prosperity that they live in, because if they didn't have it, they wouldn't be able to give it. God doesn't want you to prosper. Hogwash. Yes, he does. He has prospered you. He has blessed you. Are there people who take advantage and take that for granted? Yes, there is. There are people who abuse it. Yes, there is. But it's not you. Not here in this church. Not here in this city. There's a lot of good people who are doing good things with what God has given them, what he's blessed them with. You just need more of it. We can't be a church that preaches a word and says God doesn't want you prosper, doesn't want you to be in health, and yet they're prospering and they're healthy. Well, who prospered you? It wasn't yourself. It was God. And 3 John 2 says, Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. God wants you in health. He wants you prosperous. Period. Throughout his word. Throughout his word, he wants you prosperous. Psalm 37:3 says, trust in the Lord and do good, then you will live safely in the land and prosper. Trust in the Lord and do good. Do good according to his word. Not what the culture says. Quit fighting battles that's already been won. In Jesus' name. You don't have to fight those battles anymore. It's already a done deal. He's already won it. We're not praying for a revival. We're in revival. We're not praying for healing. We're already healed. We're kicking sickness out of our body. Kick it out in the name of Jesus if you're listening. Has no right to be in your body. Be healed. Kick it out. Quit putting up with it. Sometimes you just got to get aggressive with your healing, your deliverance. Lord, I thank you that these bones work. That I move better. That my knees are stronger. These bones are stronger. Speak the word. And don't back down. Speak it. God wants you walking around living healthy. Eventually, you're going to die off, but let it be on your own terms. Say you're ready to go. Lord, I'm ready for you to receive me right now. Go on your own terms, not on someone else's. No one else speaks over my life. I said, doctors, I love them. God bless you. But you don't speak for me. It's my voice. I will overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of my testimony. Nobody speak for me. I don't speak for you. I can get in agreement with you, but I don't speak for you. You have to say it because the mountain will obey your voice. The mountain will obey your voice. I can get in agreement with you, but you're going to have to say it because it's your mountain. It's your giant. You're going to have to say it. And everyone here, at some point in time, you're going to have a giant. You're going to have to say it. I can get in agreement with you. And I can continue to preach the word. How can one hear if a preacher isn't sent? I'm going to preach it, but you're going to have to speak it. And you're going to have to believe it. So whatever giant you're facing in your life, whatever mountain that is hurting you, that is stopping you, that is keeping that flow of the blessing from operating in your life, speak to it. Loudly. Well, the enemy will hear. Good. I hope he does. And run him off. Run him off your marriage. Run him off your children. Run him off your finances. Run him off. If he's causing division, if it comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy, run it off. Because the word says, and God blessed him, and he says, be fruitful and what? Multiply, multiply, replenish. Be fruitful and multiply. Lord, I thank you that I'm able to be fruitful and multiply. I thank you that our house is filled with children. I thank you that our bank accounts is filled with money. I thank you that my life is filled with good people in my life, friends in my life, Lord. I thank you that I'm able to share this gospel boldly and unapologetically. Live like there is no tomorrow. Live loudly. I do understand the Bible says to pray for those who are in leadership positions so that you may live a quiet and peaceable life. But don't ever be ashamed of what Jesus has done for you. We have too many of those. They're ashamed that they don't want to ever say anything. They're ashamed. You wouldn't even know that some people are a Christian because they're too ashamed. Well, I go to church every now and then, you know. No, I go to Westview Church. They speak in tongues? Yes, they do. They pray. Yes, they do. They believe in this. They believe in the word. What are your hermeneutics? I don't know what that is. But I do know they believe in the Bible. And they're good people. And they love God. And they're prayer warriors. The pastor's a bit crazy, but that's all right. And they're ushers. But you're blessed. Stop living in a curse. JC, you blessed? Be fruitful. And multiply. Ethan, are you blessed? Be fruitful. And multiply. Landon, you blessed? Be fruitful. Multiply. Teach, you blessed? Be fruitful. Multiply. Now, this is different. They're married with you. When you have your own relationships with women in your marriage, be fruitful, multiply. But you can be fruitful in the things of God by continually serving. Hallelujah. Wake up in the morning saying you're blessed. Lord, I thank you for blessing me. I thank you that the blessing operates in my life. I thank you that my relationships are blessed. I thank you that the people that you brought into my life are there to bless me, Lord. We can focus on the negative a lot. Sometimes I have to do that and I have to, okay, this is stupid. Why? Why? Live in a blessing. You're going to get a pep in your step when you do. All of a sudden, you're going to be kicking your heels up in the air and stuff like, why? You're living in a blessing. That's what the blessing does. How can you be down and out when you're living in a blessing? It's kind of hard. It's contagious. Continue to be contagious out there. Amen. Father God, we thank you for today, Lord. We thank you for the blessed life that we are able to live every single day of our lives, Lord. We thank you. Thank you that we are blessed. You call us blessed, and you told us to be fruitful and multiply, Lord, and we thank you for that. We thank you for your healing power. We thank you, Lord. We thank you. We thank you. God is healing somebody's throat right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. Hallelujah. Sinuses, Lord, we thank you for being healed in the name of Jesus. We thank you for brain waves being restored in the name of Jesus. Every tumor shall fall. At the name of Jesus, Lord, we cast those down right now. Any tumors in anyone's body, we speak against right now in the name of Jesus. From the top of the head, blood clots, we command to be healed right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you. We give you all the glory. And honor and praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. God bless you. Y'all can stand. Before you leave, give somebody a high five, a handshake, or a fist bump. God bless you. We'll see you this Wednesday.
Thank you for joining us today. If you want more information about Westview Church or would like to listen to a previous broadcast, we invite you to check out our website at westviewchurch.tv. or like our Facebook page at Westview Church of Hayes.